everyone, and welcome to this edition of the DWR podcast. My name is Simon Tappan, and I'm the Clinical Director at DWR Veterinary Specialists. And this week I'm here with Shana Lambert, our Blood Donor Champion and a Registered Veterinary Nurse at DWR.
Hiya, thank you for having me.
Yeah, really nice to be with you this week and spend some time talking about things all blood donation and blood administration related. So I've worked with you for a little while, which has been great. I know you're part of the medicine team initially, but can you tell us a little bit about how you've worked at DWR and what your position is now?
I was in the internal medicine department for about 4 years before I then moved to the anaesthesia department. I have a very strong interest in the anaesthesia side of things within my job. So making that move felt compulsory when I then decided to do my advanced certificate in anaesthesia and analgesia.
Yeah. So what is that certificate? What are you doing?
So my certificate, I actually graduated last year. It was an extra qualification that I'd done. So I now have a postgraduate specialising in anaesthesia and analgesia, which is very applicable to my job. I get to use all of my knowledge that I learned from the certificate and apply that in my day-to-day job.
Awesome. So what does your day-to-day job look like at DWR?
So my day-to-day job looks very much like what I do is I anaesthetise different patients across the hospital. So we cover anaesthesia for the neurology, ophthalmology, orthopaedic and soft tissue department. So we do a variety of different surgeries. Back when I was in internal medicine, we done the anaesthesia for the medicine patients. So that would cover procedures like endoscopies and joint taps. So yeah.
So it sounds like a wide variety of things.
Yes.
Really interesting.
Well, absolutely. Every day is a different day. We learn something new every single day, and that's the most fun part of my job.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you mentioned that you're the blood donor champion. What does that role entail? Why have you got a blood donor champion?
So we have a blood donor champion because here at DWR, we see a lot of different cases where blood products are needed, depending on what the condition of the patient is. So we have always had a blood donor program here at DWR. We now use it for a lot of our patients in ICU that come through our emergency critical care department. And basically what I do is I ensure that all of the patients, both canine and feline, are healthy enough to donate blood for these cases.
Excellent. Yeah, and then my dog Ember comes and sees you and enjoys
coming.
She does.
Yeah. She's one of our star pupils.
Which is great. She has a lovely time being well looked after. So what do we use blood products for? So we have the blood bank, which sometimes get blood from, and then obviously we have our donors that we take blood.
Yeah.
So why do we need them?
So we have blood come from the pet blood bank, and this is essentially our stored blood that we have called packed red blood cells. These can be used in cases of immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, whereas our donors provide fresh whole blood. Now, this can be important for patients where they have kind of a hemorrhages or like hemorrhage losses. So for example, with our surgical patients, we might have a soft tissue surgery where our patient loses blood, and therefore it's important that we replace what we have lost.
Right. Yeah, so the blood bank, I guess, are doing similar things with us taking blood from donors, and then they process that, don't they?
Exactly. The pet blood bank have equipment where they can essentially, once they've got that fresh whole blood, they can turn that fresh whole blood into stored blood, and then that's how we get our packed red blood cells.
Yeah, so we've got the red cells for anemic patients, and then the plasma bits for patients that have coagulopathies and need the clotting factors.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Perfect. And so with surgical patients, we might have a donor if we were anticipating a big surgery that might bleed. We've got a blood donor on hand to be able to give that blood immediately if that's having a problem.
Yeah, and that's where also from an anaesthesia point of view, when it comes to looking at the case and getting that patient prepared for the general anaesthetic, we actually put that as part of our kind of factors, and we will then, the anaesthetist will then come and actually speak to me to say that there is a high chance that we might need fresh whole blood for that particular patient. And so that's where I then also, my job of being an anaesthetist as well as the blood donor champion comes quite hand in hand. And I can organise this effectively and efficiently.
Yeah, perfect. And there are a few differences between fresh whole blood and stored blood, aren't there?
So yes.
What's the main difference?
So essentially the difference is that with fresh whole blood, we have several different components within that blood. So we have our white blood cells, our red blood cells, as well as some clotting factors. Whereas with our packed red blood cells, we have the majority of what I've just said, but with fresh whole blood, essentially some of the components become unreliable after 4 to 6 hours of collecting that blood, and that's when it then gets transferred into our stored blood.
Yeah, and we need some of the things in that fresh blood, like platelets and some of the more labour clotting factors. Then,
exactly.
The things that we want from that fresh blood. Yeah, perfect. So when we're looking for blood donors, what sort of dogs and cats are we looking for?
So we, with our dog donors, we are looking for dogs aged 1 to 8 years old. We like them to weigh more than 18 kilograms. With our canine donors, we can actually, if they weigh between 18 and 25 kilograms, we can still get blood from them. We just get a smaller volume of blood from them, and if they're over 25 kilograms, we're able to get more blood from them. They are to be vaccinated and up to date with their flea and worming treatment. Ideally, they are not on any medication, they haven't traveled, they've been born in the UK. And with their behaviour, it's just really important that they are okay with new environments, meeting new people. They can still be quite a happy, excitable donor, but ideally they can also kind of listen to commands and settle down once they get used to their environment. With our cats, we are looking for cats aged 1 to 10 years old, weighing more than 3.5 kilos. Again, the cat can be indoor or outdoor cats, because we can test for different infectious diseases when they come in for their annual blood tests. And again, we like their temperament to be good. They can settle in new environments, and that they love to have a fuss. And then again, they are to not have travelled and are born in the UK.
Yeah, great. Perfect. Thank you. And Emma does sit still, but her tail wags, I think, most of the time they're collecting blood from them.
She does, bless her.
And when we're taking blood from cats, do we sedate them, or do they sit still for you?
So it depends on the cat. We ideally are trying not to sedate our cats if they are well behaved and they tolerate it, because actually the process can take up to sort of 10 minutes if they are well behaved. If we are finding that maybe they are just a little bit more fidgety, we can give them sedation. But we, like I said, we are trying to move to a place where we can donate without sedation.
Yeah, it takes a bit of time sometimes to get used to it, doesn't it?
So yeah.
It's a little bit of oral medication, like gabapentin, don't we, just to make
exactly.
them a little bit calmer. So we're not heavily sedating them in perhaps the way we were.
Yeah, and we just want to make the process as smooth and as nice as possible for that patient as well.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. So how do we technically take blood from a dog if we were wanting to take a donation? Where does that come from? What do you actually technically do?
So what we do is, once the dog is in, we take a blood sample. So they will have the annual blood tests anyway, but we always take what we call a PCV, a packed cell volume, to make sure that they are still okay to donate. We then have a collection system where essentially the needle and the collection bag that has the anticoagulant in the bag, it's all one system. So then once we put the dog in lateral recumbency, we then essentially, it's like taking an extra long blood sample, where we take it from the jugular, and we do that, and then the process can take sort of up to 5 minutes. And essentially, as long as we're okay, the blood flows nicely into the system, and it is collected in the collection bag.
Perfect. So you're the same bags that we'd use if you or I went to give blood at the...
Exactly the same bags. They're just, like I said, they're just different volumes. So we have a smaller bag and we have a bigger bag.
Yeah, perfect. And most of the time dogs lie still?
Yeah, again, the process is really, it can sort of take up to 5 minutes. If we have really good blood flow, it's actually a really quick process, and we have plenty of people helping out, so we have plenty of people kind of giving them the attention that they need to keep the dog nice and calm throughout the process.
Yeah, perfect. And that's from the big blood vessel in the neck, so from the jugular vessel.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Grand. And then once we've collected the blood, what do we do? Ember comes home with a big bandage, a pressure on the neck.
Yes, right. So we always put a bandage on the neck to apply pressure, just to stop what we call a hematoma. So that is kind of a lump around the blood vessel from forming, because it is a bigger needle compared to what we would use if for just a normal blood sample. And then what we do with the blood is that we have to make sure that we label the blood bag correctly with the details of when we collected the bag, how much blood we collected. And then depending on what we need to use that blood bag for, it either goes straight to the patient needing that blood, or it goes into our ICU department, where it's stored in the fridge until we then need to use it. After, for the dog, we closely monitor them and make sure that we're happy with how they're doing post donation. We give them a good, nice bowl of food and give them some water, lots of fuss, and lots of walks. And before, when we then decide that we're happy with them, we then send them home back to their owners.
Yeah, perfect. So team biscuits after blood donation. Yeah,
get the blood sugars back up again.
Great. Perfect. And then just how do we give the blood? So if we've got a dog that we need to give a blood transfusion, what's the sort of process for actually doing that?
So the process for that is, again, because we have the collection bags, we're very lucky that we can actually give use that collection bag and attach what we call a giving set into that bag, and then it's delivered straight to the patient. Now, if we think that we have, for example, our surgical patients, it might be that we actually only draw up a certain amount of blood from that blood bag and give a smaller amount of that blood via a syringe and a syringe driver to deliver a certain amount of blood. The reason why we do that is because if there is an active bleed, we might decide that the patient then needs to receive another fresh whole blood a little bit later on, still within the 4 to 6 hours post-collection that we advise. But it's to then save the blood and make use of the blood as much as we possibly can.
Perfect. And before we give the blood products, if we're giving transfusions, I know people, obviously blood types and blood groups are really important. So we have to think about that in dogs and cats as well?
Absolutely. So with cats, it's really important that we know what blood type the donor and the recipient is. So we have to always do the blood typing test before, and we always have to make sure that we give the correct blood to the correct donor and recipient. And the reason for this is because cats have naturally occurring antibodies. Whereas with our dogs, we do have we have negative and positive blood, the negative blood being what we call a universal donor. So if the patient receiving the transfusion, if it's its first ever transfusion, we can technically get away without blood typing, cross matching before the transfusion. However, this isn't always best practice to do that, because there we could still kind of increase the risk of a transfusion reaction, because we're giving potentially a blood product that the patient receiving it isn't that blood type. But it's always important that once a dog has received a blood transfusion, we always cross match after that, because they will naturally build up the antibodies of that blood type.
Yeah, perfect. That's a really good explanation of something that's actually really quite complicated. So yeah. Sorry for asking that question. But yeah, there are multiple different blood antigens in dogs, aren't there? But DA1 is obviously the one that we talk about as being positive and negative. And
yeah.
Positive just meaning there's the antigens on the cells, and so there aren't antibodies against that normally, but there potentially would be if we transfused. And then with cats, we have a slightly different system, A and B, and those both have antibodies against the other type often, which is potentially a problem for anaphylaxis and transfusion reactions and problems and excitement as a result of that. So understanding that's really important. And then giving the blood, obviously you're talking about giving it either through the bag or in a syringe and filters and things. Do we often see transfusion reactions, or are they quite uncommon?
So to be honest with you, a if we do see transfusion reactions, they tend to be quite mild reactions. And because they tend to be quite mild reactions, we tend to find that we can stop the transfusion, monitor the reactions that are being seen and allow them reactions to subside. And then what we can do usually is we can restart the transfusion, but at a much slower rate. And that tends to be kind of okay. However, we do get them cases where we do see the severe transfusion reactions, and therefore they are closely monitored and then the transfusion is stopped completely. But like I said, the majority of our reactions that we do see, if we see them, are quite mild.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's a really, well, it's usually a very safe way of providing a really life-saving treatment, isn't it, in terms of what we're doing. And thankfully, those transfusion reactions are a little bit more worrisome, usually because something hasn't happened in quite the right way, and they're very, very rare, which is great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for your time. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, it's been great learning a lot about blood transfusions. So thank you very much, Shana. And if you'd like to know anything more about DWR Veterinary Specialists or our blood donor program, then head over to our website at www.dwr.vet or follow us on social media and look out for the hashtag #ProudlyDWR, together creating a better world for pets.